As we mentioned a few moments ago, this is Jump Sunday, and it's the beginning of Jump Month here at Community Covenant Church. But before we do any jumping, my first Sunday at this church was about 10 months ago. It was November 2nd. And on that Sunday, if you were here on that Sunday, you'll remember that I got up in front of you and I shared a couple things that you needed to know about me. And one of the things I shared about me is that I have a strange and almost unhealthy addiction to nature shows. It's true, but here's the thing with my strange and somewhat unhealthy addiction to nature shows. I rarely, if ever, go to watch a nature show on purpose. It's not like I know it's going to be on at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, and so I set my schedule so I can watch the particular nature show. I rarely, if ever, do that. Nature shows for me are always the result of channel surfing. I can't stand commercials, and so I'll be watching TV, and there'll be a commercial, and so I'll grab the remote, and zebras. And I'll be stuck there. I mean, I can't leave when there's a nature show on. You just gotta find out what happens. And this happened to me, and I shared this with you back on November 2nd, but it happened to me a handful of years ago. If you think I'm exaggerating this whole nature show addiction thing, you can ask my daughter, Madison. All of a sudden, there'll be no movement downstairs, and my kids will go, "Dad, you watching a nature show?" There'll be no response. It happened again. It happened again. A handful of years ago, I was watching TV, commercial comes on. A duck. There was a duck. And it wasn't that Affleck duck. It was like nature duck, you know? And it was a female duck. You could tell by the colorization. And this female duck flew up into a tree, not like into a tree, you know, like that. Although that'd be kind of funny. It's those scenes in nature you never actually see. There was a hole in the tree, and this mama duck flies up and goes into the hole in the tree. And this particular episode that I was watching, I don't know how they get the cameras inside of places. It's like if you came home and there's like cameras in your house, you'd notice, but there's these cameras in the tree, and the mama duck lays eggs, and the mama duck sits on the egg, and then one day the eggs start moving, and then the eggs kind of crack, and one by one, these little fluffy yellow ducks, you know, start coming out of the eggs. And here's the thing. I'm a man, you know, I like barbecue and football and everything, you know, but they were abundantly cute. I mean, just abundantly, abundantly cute. And if you didn't find them cute, you have no soul. And they're these little tiny fluffy ducks, you know? And then the mom goes to the edge of the tree and jumps and goes like, whoo, and gently descends to the forest floor and gets in amongst the leaves and just kind of walks very gracefully. But then the mama duck turns around and looks up at the hole in the tree. By the way, it's like 30 feet in the air. I'm not exaggerating at all on this one. About 30 feet in the air. And the mama duck looks up and goes, "Quackity quack." Which I don't speak duck, but apparently it has something to do with it's time to leave the hole in the tree. Because one of the baby ducks comes out to the edge and gets out to the edge and looks down. And the mama duck repeats, "Quackity quack," which again, I think means jump, because little baby duck jumps from the tree. Have you ever seen a baby duck fly? No, you haven't, because they can't. This little baby duck jumps and just does this, but it doesn't help anything other than look ridiculous. And it goes straight down, drops like a rock, hits the ground, and I'm not kidding, it bounced. And it hit the ground and bounced and came up and then just came over to mom. And I'm just watching this guy go. But then mama duck says the same thing again. Quackity quack. And the other ducks come to the edge, jump, flap uselessly, hit the ground, bounce, and they all get to the bottom, and then they all line up behind mom, and then they hike for like a mile. They're going over branches and under things until they make it to the pond. And they get to the pond and suddenly they're splashing around and doing things that ducks are supposed to do in a pond. And I'm sitting there just going. And then it hit me. And it hits me often when I watch nature shows. And this is where I'm a little. It hits me as I'm watching this. I go. I'm a baby duck. And I got news for you. You're a baby duck, which makes Jesus the mama duck, which theologically goes in interesting directions. But stay with me. Jesus stands at the bottom of my tree, stands at the bottom of your tree, and he says, quackity quack. Jesus stands at the bottom of our lives and goes, jump. I want you to jump. We got to remember that when Jesus was first starting his public ministry, he comes to a lake and there are these fishermen at this lake and he says to them essentially quackity quack. He looks at these fishermen and he goes, hey, drop your nets. Come follow me. Drop your nets. Jump. It's really important for us to realize what Jesus did not say in that moment. Jesus did not say, drop your nets and believe in me. Don't get me wrong. It's important for us to come to a place where we believe that Jesus is who Jesus said he is, that he's the Son of God, that he lived and died and rose again. It's important for us to come to a place where we believe this to be true, but that's not what Jesus said there. Jesus did not say, drop your nets, make a cognitive conclusion about my deity. He said, no, drop your nets, come, follow me. Come follow me, and I'll show you a life worth believing in. Come, follow me. And then the 10th chapter of John, this is the way Jesus says it. I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. Jesus is saying, quackity quack, come, jump, follow me. I want to show you what abundant life looks like. I want to show you what a life filled with hope and purpose and forgiveness and grace looks like. Come, follow me. Now you might be thinking, you know, this whole jump, follow Jesus, abundant life, that sounds great, but that's quite a drop. It looks like it will hurt if I jump. I started thinking about those baby ducks. What would have happened if those baby ducks, especially brothers and sisters 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, looked at what happened to first brother who jumped, and then mom goes, hey, quackity quack. I'm thinking ducks number 2, 3, 4, 5 are going, no. I mean, I love you and everything, mom, but you see what happened to Billy? He dropped and bounced like a tennis ball. I'm staying here. This is a way better. These wings, I thought they worked. Apparently, they're just decoration. I'm staying in the tree. What would have happened if the ducks would have chosen to remain in the tree? I'll tell you what would have happened to those ducks. They would have been safe. They would have been comfortable. And if the mama duck would have returned to the tree, they will have been well-fed. So they would have been safe, comfortable, well-fed ducks that never learned how to fly, never experienced life in the pond, and ultimately would have died in their comfort and safety. And I've just described both those baby ducks and the state of the North American church. Too often, the church has said what's most important to us is being comfortable, safe, and as long as you keep feeding me. As a result, the church in North America too often is a safe, comfortable place of fat, well-fed people that never actually risk following Jesus. As a result, our influence in our contemporary culture is dying. Our influence is slowly eroding and dying. Not so much from what the culture is doing, but from what the church isn't doing. Being a group of people that hear the quackity quack of the Lord Jesus Christ and jump. Now, you might be thinking, oh, I'm with you there, but, so maybe we need more convincing that this jumping thing is a good idea. And I can appeal to your intellect, and we could talk about the statistical probability or improbability of a single individual fulfilling all of the Old Testament prophecies regarding the Messiah as Jesus did. We could talk about that. We could appeal to your love of history and point out to the fact that the Roman Empire And the religious authorities in Jerusalem were unable to disprove the resurrection of Jesus. All they had to do was produce a body. And they think, oh, the body was stolen. To think that a group of frightened disciples that scattered at the first sign of danger suddenly just girded up their loins and attacked a Roman legion of forces that were guarding. No. All they had to do was produce a body, and the whole Jesus is back from the dead thing is over, but they couldn't. Or we could appeal to those people to say, well, wait a second, Mike, what about all of those people over the last 2,000 years that call themselves Christians that have committed atrocities in the name of Jesus? To which I would say, yes, that has happened, and it is shameful. And it's an ugly part of the heritage of the church. But I would also have to counter that observation with the fact that hospitals, education, giving voice to the voiceless is the result of the followers of Jesus who saw Jesus do that and set forth to build hospitals and schools and care for the voiceless. I mean, we can enter into some kind of intellectual debate about Jesus, but truth be told, that's not the reason I jump. There's a time and a place for those kind of discussions, but it's not the reason I jump. The reason I jumped and continue to jump in following Jesus, because when I was a 13-year-old kid, I was going to this church. I would have called myself a Christian. But when I was 13 years old, our youth group went to Alliance Redwoods Christian camp a couple hours from here. And I was in eighth grade, and I had my Bible open, and I was reading out of the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, it said, love each other with brotherly affection. And in that moment, I felt as if Jesus were standing directly behind me. And in faith, I don't know if I heard an audible voice or if it's just something I heard here, but in faith, I heard Jesus say to me, when I read, love each other with brotherly affection, I heard Jesus say to me, I love you more than you love your brother. It's not even what the verse is talking about. But in that moment, I heard it so very clearly. I love you more than you love your brother. And if you'd have asked me when I was 13 years old, who do you love the most in this world? It would have been an easy answer. I said, I love my dad and I love my brother. And there's a very good reason, because they never left me. My mom left when I was 5. And as a kid, I understood true love as the love that does not leave me. That's how I was as a 13-year-old kid. And so I would have said, yep, I understand love. It's how I love my brother and how I love my dad. But in that moment, Jesus said, I know you love them, but I love you more than that. And at that moment, I go, wait a second. If God loves me that intimately, that intensely, then I surrender all and I will jump. And from that point forward, I've lived a life where I've tried to jump over and over and over again to choose to follow him daily. Now, I confess, I don't always follow. There are times that I try to crawl back up into the safety of the tree where I find all of my comfortable preferences. But then Jesus just calls me again and says, quackity quack, Mike, it's time to jump. You see, the decision to follow Jesus is not a decision we make once and that's over and done with. We make this decision over and over and over again in our lives. Today I choose to follow Jesus wherever he leads. Quackity quack, and we jump. This is why I'm preaching this sermon for a second time in 10 months. Because we need to be reminded that we are a people, individually and collectively, that hear the quackity quack of God, and we jump and go wherever he calls us to go, and to live the way he calls us to live. And maybe today is the day you go, I needed to be reminded of that. Today I choose to follow him. There might be some of you here this morning that this whole idea of following Jesus is just somewhat foreign. Oh, okay. My favorite author wrote a book called The Ragamuffin Gospel. In it, he has this wonderful quote. And if you've been around here the last 10 months, you've heard it multiple times. But Brennan Manning says this. He says, do you believe that the God of Jesus Christ loves you beyond worthiness and unworthiness? That he loves you beyond fidelity and infidelity? That he loves you in the morning sun and in the evening rain? Do you believe that God loves you even when your intellect denies it, your emotions refuse it, and your whole being rejects it? Do you believe that God loves you without condition or reservation, and he loves you in this moment as you are and not how you should be? And when we find the courage to accept his acceptance of us, when we find the courage to hear that and say, to the extent I'm able, I believe that to be true, then that's the moment that we jump. I can think of no better way to kick off our school year together. I can think of no better way to respond to the quackity quack of God than to come to the communion table. You see, it's at the table that we come individually and collectively, and we respond to his invitation to jump. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he was with his closest followers. It's the night before he would be crucified. But on the night when Christ was betrayed, he was with his followers, and he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup also and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you. It's my promise that through my crucifixion and my resurrection, you have forgiveness, and nothing needs to permanently separate you from the love of my God ever again." But it was the Apostle Paul who went on to say that whenever we eat the bread, whenever we drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We proclaim the Lord's death. So when we take communion around here, we do it in a way that helps us jump. In a moment, I'm going to ask the servers to come forward. And there'll be four different stations. There'll be a station here and here. We're going to put one back in the prayer area, one back over here. And when you are ready to respond to the quackity quack, when you're ready to respond to the invitation to come and proclaim, you can go to one of those stations. One person will hold the bread and say, the body of Christ was broken for you. And our response around here has been simply this: body of Christ broken for you. And our response is, I remember. We're choosing to be intentional, say, I remember this is what he did and why he did it because of his great love for me. And then they'll hold the cup and say, the blood of Christ was shed for you. And then we take the bread and we dip it in there. And our response has been, I believe, because we want to give a chance for us to proclaim. But this morning, you might use different language. Blood of Christ was shed for you. I believe. I will follow. Or maybe simply, I will jump. I'd like to ask those servers to come forward.